Welcome, everyone. Life can be a little chaotic. I remember sitting in Port Macquarie Bay's hospital at the start of the year, and it was a painful experience for me. There was a birth, and it was the birth of Evelyn, our baby. Jessica and I are experiencing the chaos of that birth in our house, if that be trying to catch her before she eats from the dog food, or which is now happening, and we have indeed caught her eating that. Or changing a nappy 5 minutes after putting a fresh one on. Or just trying to put her down inside her crib asleep and trying to maneuver it in such a way that we get our arms out and we can walk outside the room tiptoeing until she, you know, is on her own sleeping. Life can be a little chaotic. If we don't stand firm through the chaos, however, it can be disastrous. It would have been disastrous for Evelyn. And today we begin a new sermon series on Jesus' return in Matthew. It's a mission series. And there's a little chaos in the temple of Jerusalem in chapters 21 to 23 of Matthew. Jesus overthrows tables, spoke against the religious leaders who were hypocrites in that time, and declared that the temple would be forsaken by God. Even after Jesus taught in the temple, the disciples couldn't stop focusing on the buildings in verse 1 of 24. It was as if they didn't hear Jesus' earlier words. Their eyes were captivated by its large walls. The temple was a place of splendor. They grew up surrounded by it. The temple was the place of God's presence. It was like the temple was their lover. But Jesus' next words would have shocked them in verse 2. Every stone of this temple will be thrown down. The disciples then asked, when will this happen? And what will the sign of your coming at the end of the age be? The disciples couldn't imagine a world without God's temple, unless that meant that it would be the world's end. But I think they were mistaken. Like the disciples, I am reminded of this man called Jeremy. Jeremy's mind was occupied by a special place. With anticipation, the last work email was sent, and it was time for his holiday north in the Coffs Harbour. He wanted to relive his childhood memories, memories of eating ice cream down at the beach, memories of eating fish and chips and enjoying the surf. As Jeremy drove north, the light of the sun reminded him of those glossy waters. Jeremy woke up the next morning. A murky sunrise pierced through the clouds. It was dark. A storm was brewing. It was humid. It was chaotic. Thunder, lightning. His apartment room became a place of groaning. As a man who confessed to be a Christian, Christ was nowhere on his mind. He was too worried about having a great holiday. This future was not what he expected. Nor was it what their disciples expected when Jesus said that the temple would be thrown down. And in Matthew 24, verses 4 to 14, a chaotic storm was brewing. To enjoy a peaceful world, the disciples would firstly need to journey through dark days, days filled with deep turmoil, grief, and pain, days filled with false teachers, end time speculators, haters, betrayers, and murderers, people who had grown cold and were no longer compassionate at all. Jesus then said in verse 6, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed by such things. These dark and chaotic things must happen, but the end is still to come. It's only the beginning. These dark things. Wow. Friends, we will not be able to stand firm in our faith unless we pay close attention to Jesus' warnings here, warnings which he are declaring in response to their question. In this list of warnings, one, however, stands out in particular. It's the first warning that he says. Verse 4, watch out that no one deceives you. Watch out. Why? Why would he say that? Deceivers stop the growth of God's kingdom. They stop the gospel going forth out into the nations. They turn thousands of disciples away from the truth. They break down churches. They cause divisions. They cause chaos. Like crafty serpents, they find new ways to twist the gospel to please the people. They lead people into things like superstition. They proclaim, look, here is the Messiah. There he is. One deception that is growing in the West is the therapeutic gospel. It's a gospel which I think has been growing over the last 30, 20 years. And when you think of the word therapeutic, you might think of massages, chiropractors, exercises and counseling. I know when I had a massage once and the masseuse hit my back like that, it cracked and I felt a lot better, especially after playing football that weekend. And therapists make us feel good. They fix us. The result of therapeutic care is personal comfort most of the time. But sometimes I've heard of stories where people come out more sore. Now, if the gospel becomes a message of personal comfort, like all fad diets, it won't sustain us long term. These gospels attempt to combine the secular ideal of personal pleasure with the hope of Christ who meets our needs, our sinful needs, actually. Let me explain an illustration. I went to Coorong at the start of the year. A lady walked into the shop. She was in a great amount of grief. I noticed it as soon as she walked in. She was down. She went up to the section in Coorong where it says something like spiritual self-help. And the employee there went up to her. She said, how are you going? Are you okay? The lady said, no, I'm not okay. I've been reading many of these books here. They tell me to think of positive things. They tell me to dream big. They tell me to have faith in myself. They tell me that God can give me my best life now. But life is just so hard. It feels like God is not there, that he's not listening to me. I grieved for this lady. I actually left the shop angry. Because I knew that one of Christ's sheep was being led astray. What more could Satan want than to cause this lady to focus on her personal pleasures rather than the gospel mission of Christ, the mission of preaching the gospel to the end of the earth so that more will be saved? She only focused inwardly. Rather than focusing on the Messiah, she was almost becoming God. She loved herself. And it didn't satisfy. Unlike the deceivers warned about in Matthew, who were pointing people to false Christs, the deceivers today aim to make us feel like we are gods. The true gospel is a gospel that demands us to surrender all to Jesus. Jesus said, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved, verse 13. And focus in on that verse, stand firm. In all these things, stand firm. When deception comes, stand firm. This is a challenge to stand firm with Jesus in his sufferings, to feel his very trials, and authentic Christianity is hard. It's a slog. It's a life of chaos. But the reward is great, and we'll see that soon. Don't be deceived, stand firm. Now to Matthew 24:15-28. Jesus warns his disciples of an extremely dark time ahead. It's an example of what they must go through. So the disciples and the elect won't be so attached to the temple. God's limiting its days, and he did limit its days. But the days of its abolishment would bring about distress. In verse 21 it says, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. 40 years after Jesus spoke, the temple was contaminated by pagan idols and finally trodden down upon by Roman armies. That temple that the disciples' eyes were fixed on was crushed. Those who failed to flee before the chaos experienced unimaginable horrors. With haste, many Jews journeyed to the mountains to escape. Caves were used for shelter, but many were spotted, such as pregnant women and nursing mothers, and it was a horrible day for them because some of them couldn't get out. The Jews were plagued with death. Death was everywhere to be seen. The desolation was extreme. How could God allow this? If God is a good God, how could he do such a thing? Friends, God is just. Rather than receiving Jesus as Lord, the Jews spoke against him. The desolation was their judgment. But in another extraordinary act of compassion, God shortened this trial to save his children still living in rebellion. What a God. Even in the darkest moment, God displayed amazing compassion and ended that time short so that the children of God would be saved. This desolation of the temple reminds me of a time at Diamond Head. Now, when I was younger, I used to go out to Diamond Head. And I remember in that time, we'd ride around in our bikes and sometimes go down to the beach. And one day in particular, we decided, you know what, let's build some sand forts, sand castles. And so we built some sand castles. Mine had its very own river system. As the waves came in, it would channel the water down into this pool. And as we were all building our forts together, we decided, let's have a battle. But I thought mine was the best. Anyhow, as we started building the sand castles, we got ready for the battle. I threw clumps of sand at my friends' castles. They threw clumps of sand at me. Walls started crashing down. Sand flung into our eyes. One kid ran away crying. Our sand castles crumbled. Not one clump of sand was left standing. Not one clump was left standing. These sand castles that I talk about are symbolic for the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of our own imagination, our pleasures, the kingdoms that we are building up each day. But please be warned, as Jesus warns us, every stone that we fix our eyes on apart from Jesus, the rock of salvation will crumble, and it's made very clear in the previous chapters. Jesus is the cornerstone, and those who reject him will stumble. These stones that will fall can be temples, such as the Temple of Jerusalem, cars, careers, money, and health. Even if false teachers perform great signs and make big promises, don't be swayed. So here we go back to false teachers. They want us to be attached to the things of this world. They want us to be distracted. But don't be deceived. All will crumble with them. Do you remember how we did a sermon series on Daniel? Anyone remember that? Well, I think it was the second talk, chapter 2, that we went through. And one of the verses in particular stood out to me. Verse 44 of chapter 2, it says, "The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but itself will endure forever." God sometimes needs to crush the things that we are most attached to in this world. He sometimes needs to bring down the kingdoms of this world. When these things fall, the true rock of salvation becomes our undivided attention. I believe that Jesus wanted his disciples to look to him and stand firm in him. But they were distracted, and that distraction ended. Christ and his mission becomes our theme when we fix our eyes on Christ rather than the kingdoms of this world. And the deception we were led by is destroyed when we look to Christ. Then when our attention is fixed on his kingdom, we look to the nations with compassion. We take pleasure seeing the world turn from their false hopes, false loves, and false gospels. So don't be attached to the fallen kingdoms of this world. Stand firm in Jesus. Now the end of chaos in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 to 36 commences with the return of the world's king. It says immediately. He could come back at any time. This return will be glorious for the children of God. The destruction of the temple was a foretaste of this future horror and many horrors leading up to Jesus' return. Isaiah said, "The day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it." It's going to be a terrible day for many, for this world, our world. Could you imagine being attached to worldly kingdoms on that day? Jesus' return will be disastrous for all those who stand against him. Jesus said in verse 30, "All the peoples of the world will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming to the clouds of heaven with great glory and power." There will be worldwide mourning. Going back to the story I told earlier about Jeremy, the chaotic weather was not what he expected. So as he looked at the storm, groaned, and listened to the thunder above, he decided to go down to a shared lounge room. There he bumped into a stranger. His name was John. The stranger smiled at him and said, "Are you okay, mate?" With honesty, Jeremy replied, "No, I'm not okay." John looked at Jeremy and asked, "Do you want to chat around lunch?" Jeremy, surprised, said, "Yeah, that would be good." As they got to know each other, John shared his whole life with him. He talked about the hope he had in Jesus. He shared about the gospel of the kingdom that we preach to the whole world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come. With intrigue, Jeremy listened to this gospel he proclaimed, a gospel of new life. This was not the gospel he had heard at his church. John gave him a Bible and encouraged him to meet with his pastor friend from Sydney. A dark holiday became a glorious one. In the chaos of his groaning, Jeremy turned from his kingdom of self-pleasure to Christ. He now lives for Christ's mission, using every day to proclaim the love of God as he patiently awaits Jesus' return. This would not have happened unless John followed Jesus' instructions to preach the gospel to all nations. If he didn't live for Christ's mission, his eyes would be fixed elsewhere. And Jeremy might not have seen the good news or heard the good news of Jesus, but would have continued to be deceived. My prayer, especially considering Christ's return, which could happen at any hour, is that our minds will be occupied with a fresh vision of Jesus and his mission. As we imagine a world bowing before the throne of Christ, we should not just listen to the joyful mourning of saints, saying, "Ah, our Saviour has returned." We should also listen to the mourning of those who don't know Jesus. Picture their tears. Do you visualize that mourning? When coming to this text, I was trying to visualize it. What would it look like? As Isaiah said, it would be a horror. And then I started to think, as I look at those people mourning who don't know Christ, I hear them say, "Why did you not tell me? Why did you not say a thing? Here I am dying and you didn't speak." Some of those mourning will be people who live next door to us, people who we never said hello to. Some people will be those who we bump into at our grocery market, grocery store each day. Some will be our friends, friends who we're too scared to share Christ with. Some will be our children. Some may even be us, if we have not yet turned from the worldly kingdoms to Jesus. As we imagine the morning of our world at Jesus' return, may such a vision transform how we live our lives today. Unless we are gripped by Jesus' return, we may never be gripped by his mission and the fact that he could come any time. But if we are indeed gripped, how rewarding will it be on that day when we look and see thousands of people saved because we decided to obediently stand firm in Christ. Even if one person comes to faith through our life, it's going to be rewarding because that one who came to faith might be a great evangelist who sees many come to Christ through their ministry. And therefore your legacy would be enormous because the treasures in heaven would be so great. But it's not your legacy, it's Christ's. Such rewards in heaven will be worth every attachment overcome on earth. Now, Jesus is saying to us, I think. He's saying to his disciples and he's saying to us now, don't be focused on the temple. Don't be focused on things of this world. Focus on me and my mission. Stand firm in me and you will be saved. Stand firm until the end. And that standing firm is accompanied by preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. In verse 14. Don't forget Jesus is returning and stand firm. Or in the shortest, stand. Just stand for him. Let's pray. Mighty God of glory, by the power of your Spirit, help us to stand firm in Christ. Christ our Lord. Help us to stand firm and don't be deceived. Help us to stand firm against our attachments to our world. Help us stand firm, not forgetting that you could return at any hour. Lord, may we go and make disciples of all nations until the end of the age. May this be our theme. May this be our mission to stand firm in you. Amen.